We continue our study of the book of Romans chapter 8. And this evening our subject title is The Holy Spirit, Our Intercessor. And the gist of the message, of course, is on the area of prayer, that which is a means of grace that God has very graciously granted to us, His children. It is a means of grace which only born-again Christians enjoy, besides the other means of grace, like the reading of Scripture, the Word of God, that is. The other means of grace would be the praises that we sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and also enjoying the beauty of God's creation is also a means of grace. And the others, of course, as you know, baptism and the Lord's observing or partaking of the Lord's Supper are the other means of grace which the Lord has given to us, the believer, so as to help us in our spiritual life, so as to encourage us in our pilgrim journey. That is why it is called means of grace, which we can make full use of for our own spiritual benefit and edification. So many of us Christians, and I'm sure you are aware of it, that we are we understand and we are aware of the importance of prayer, but few of us, including myself, are not disciplined enough or willing to sacrifice sufficient time and energy or effort to pray regularly. And perhaps there are various reasons why we do not pray as often as we are commanded to do so, or why we Christians from time to time have difficulty praying. It may be we neglect prayer. It may be we are too busy with our life, or for some, life may be so good and pleasant that we don't feel any urgent need to pray, or we may not know how to pray or what to pray. These are the few reasons or difficulties that we do encounter from time to time as Christians. And add to this, Christians who genuinely desire or want to pray in accordance with God's will often find ourselves asking questions like this: what should I pray for? How should I pray? Can I pray with confidence, making my request by faith? There are other questions regarding prayer that comes to the mind of the Christians. What happens if I pray wrongly? If I pray not according to God's will? Can prayer do harm? Does prayer get God to change His mind or His will? Can it change God's plans? If not, does it even matter if I pray? So for many of us Christians, this subject on prayer has caused us much perplexity. And it has been a continuing problem for many believers. But brethren, may I encourage you, do not despair. We have help again in this aspect of our Christian life. God knows our weaknesses, and God comes alongside again and provided us these means of grace. The verses we are going to study speaks of the Holy Spirit's help in our prayer life. And Paul concluded with this verse: He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The word "he" there, as you know, refers to the Holy Spirit. And this is what Romans 8 verses 26 and 27 is all about, or are all about. These two verses begin with the word "likewise," which can be rendered as "in the same manner" or "in the same way." So firstly, we need to ask what this refers to. When we examine the word again, we realize that that word likewise is used as a connecting word or phrase, which means it is linked to what goes on before this verse. I suggest that the link is not to the immediately preceding verses, but rather it is linked to verses 15 to 17, where Paul is teaching us about prayer. In verses 15 to 17, we are told that the Holy Spirit enables the Christian to pray, assuring us that we are truly God's children and encouraging us to cry out what? Abba, Father. That teaching was followed by an extensive digression, which is usually the Apostle Paul's style of writing. He will talk about this one subject, and after that he sort of like go off into others, something else, and then he comes back to the main point. And so here the Apostle Paul digress and go into the area of suffering, which Christian endure in this life before he comes back into God's into this subject of prayer. But then, having dealt with suffering, now he talks about the Holy Spirit's help in enabling us, the believers or the Christians, to pray. And he added that the Spirit also what? Helps in our weakness, in verse 26. So the essence of these two verses is this: the Holy Spirit's help in prayer is another way true believers or born again believers can know that they are God's children, and that nothing will ever separate the genuine Christian from God's love. Let me put it in another way. How can I know that I am truly a born-again believer, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? One of it is this: the Holy Spirit's help in our prayer life. We commence this study by asking this question: why prayer is a problem to many Christians? And this is my first heading. Why is prayer a problem? For most Christians, this is obviously a problem. Otherwise, the Bible will not have so many passages that deal with this subject of prayer. The Apostle Paul gives us the answer in verse 26. He says that it is because of our infirmities. The word down there translated by the King James translators. Infirmities or our weakness. However, I want to point out to us, when Paul speaks of or use this word infirmities, it speaks of our weakness. He is not referring to our sin, of this falling into sin. Weakness is not a sin. It is true that we are sinners and we often sin, and that sin is an obstacle to our prayer life or our communion to God or with God. King David speaks of this hindrance that he experienced in his prayer life in this way, in Psalm 66 verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Likewise, the prophet Isaiah told the Israelites in Isaiah 59 verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Meaning to say, he will not hear your prayer or your petitions. And so, however, here in verse 26 in Romans 8, Paul is not referring to this kind of problem. He is concerned with our infirmities. And first on the list of our infirmities, which we can be translated as weakness, but I think the King James does it better to use the word infirmities rather than weaknesses. But for our easy understanding, we will just refer the word infirmities to be our weaknesses. And one of the weaknesses is this, our physical weakness. Paul is talking about our human physical weakness. And what kind of human physical weakness are there? Well, one of it is this. Let me illustrate with the account of the disciples. You may have read that. When Jesus asked them to pray with him, and what happened to all the disciples when Jesus was praying in the garden alone in Gethsemane, they all kept falling asleep, even though Jesus had instructed them to stay awake and pray with him. Then the second weakness that we human face, which Paul has in mind, is ignorance or lack of understanding. He says in the middle part of verse 26, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." So ignorance or lack of understanding is another weakness we Christians have regarding prayer. But this verse is not saying that Christians do not know how to pray, but rather what to pray. Paul is referring to our limitation of what we should ask of God, or what is God's will for my life. This is the struggle that we have, or the weakness that we have. And so in our ignorance or our lack of understanding, we do not know how to pray correctly. There is another word we need to take note of in verse 26, before the word infirmities. And this word is equally important, the word before infirmities. You notice that Paul did not say your infirmities. He said our infirmities. And this tells us that Paul, the apostle Paul, and like many other Christians like ourselves, are having the same weakness. The apostle Paul also has this weakness. This weakness is not unique to new believers or those whom we describe as young believers or immature believers. It is common in our Christian experience. Even the greatest or the most mature Christian has this difficulty. Let me provide you with two illustrations to bring home this point of our human weakness or our ignorance in with regard to knowing what to pray and knowing the will of God. The first case is in the book of Job. Job went through a series of very severe suffering, which is very difficult for us to really understand. And he himself, the Bible described him in the first place as a righteous man, a man who feared God and shunned evil. But yet, because of the sufferings that he went through, Job was a confused man. He did not know why he was suffering as he was. His friends, alright, out of genuine love and care for him, came along. They thought they know better. They would have no difficulty praying for Job since they had it all figured out. But they figured it out incorrectly. So Job, who knew his own heart, yet he has no answer. He prayed in Job chapter 7, verse 20b to 21. I read to you, Job 7, 20b to 21. "Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity?" And so in his weakness, Job questioned God. And then another example you may know is Elijah. This great prophet of God was a very courageous man. Having stood against the powerful prophets or the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and by the power of God, he actually won a great victory for God. Yet, after that spiritual battle or that spiritual victory, he was so emotionally, mentally, and physically so weary that he retreated to the desert, fearing Jezebel, who had threatened to kill him. And so, Elijah prayed to God, which is a good thing. But what did he pray? He requested for death, arguing that he was no better than his ancestors were, and therefore God should take his life. You can read this in 1 John, or rather, sorry, not 1 John, 1 Kings, 19 verse 4. The statement he made in his prayer is correct. It was true that he was no better than his ancestor. But this prayer was uttered out of confusion and foolishness, not realizing that God had some more work for him to do. And so looking at these two examples alone, we now understand better why or what Paul is talking about concerning our infirmities with regard to our prayer life, which we must acknowledge. We have such physical weaknesses, tiredness, weariness, and ignorance and not understanding the will of God. It does hinder our prayer. Next, we want to look at which is an answer to this problem. Why is prayer a problem? And we need to know how to overcome this weakness. And so the solution for us is in the second part of verse 26 of Romans 8. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. We must acknowledge that we are weak in and of ourselves, but the Holy Spirit of God, He, the third person of the triune Godhead, He is all-powerful. Paul uses a very long Greek word to show us the Spirit's role in prayer, which is translated in our English Bible as helps or helpeth our infirmities in Romans 8:26. This word helps in English is insufficient to give us the full extent of the meaning of the Greek word. The word is sunenti lambanete or lambano, and so it is a combination of the word sun, which means with, and or with, or along with, or together with. The word sun means, and then the second word ente or anti means for or in the place of. And then the main word, which is a verb, lambano, is that I take or I take hold of, or it can also render as to remove or to destroy or to bear. And so which word should we choose? Well, the rule is you look at the context. Look at the context. And so in this context, we would say he take hold of or take off, take hold of, which is better, or to bear. And so when we combine these three Greek words together, the word refers to this, that a person is coming alongside you or coming alongside another person to take part in this heavy load, to help this person, he or she, to bear it. So it is more than just helping. It has a greater intensity in meaning. The idea Paul is trying to impress upon all of us is that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, come alongside a Christian or you to help by bearing the Christian's burden. And what is the burden? That burden is pictured as ignorance or not knowing the will of God, which is pictured as a heavy load. And so we are struggling along under the load of ignorance or lack of understanding, as it were. But then the Holy Spirit comes along and helps us to shoulder the load. The Holy Spirit identifies with us in our weakness. Just like the Lord Jesus did in His incarnation, and the Lord Jesus supports us as we pray. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit not only come alongside us to bear that load with us, but the Holy Spirit also shoulders our burden by pleading or praying our case with God when we do not know what to pray for. So the Holy Spirit help us, I can put it in a very simple way, which is this. The Holy Spirit help us by praying with us and praying for us. However, that is not all that the Holy Spirit is doing. Look carefully at verse 26. We are told further that the Holy Spirit not only comes alongside to support us, to bear the load with us, and not only praying with us and for us, the Holy Spirit also intercedes or pray for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. And that is how the Holy Spirit is praying for us. Praying with groaning. Now, this word groaning here, there are many Bible commentators have different view and argument concerning this word groaning. But we are going to put all this aside. Right? Time does not allow us to go into the detail. But let me simply suggest that Paul is giving us the picture of the Holy Spirit while bearing the burden with us, groans together with us. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not only sympathetic towards us, but He is also empathizing with us. And you know the meaning of this the difference between these two words of being sympathetic and empathizing with us. The Holy Spirit, as it were, cries with us in silence. He bears our prayer burden without uttering a word, but in quiet support. Because verse 27 reads, "And He, God, that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So, brethren, take heart, be encouraged by these two verses. Though we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit knows. And God, in His goodness, has given us His Holy Spirit, not only to dwell in us, but to assist us precisely in this weakness that you and I encounter from time to time in our prayer life. With the Holy Spirit help, therefore, we can overcome and make progress in our spiritual life, and particularly in this area of our prayer life. And so for our application, let me suggest three things for us to do. Number one, be always in prayer no matter what. Regardless of your problem, whatever problem we may have, and whatever problem we may have in particularly concerning prayer, alright, which we should not be surprised, even the most matured Christian will encounter the problem of the weaknesses that I just spoken of. We are not supposed to stop praying. In fact, the Word of God commands us to pray. You know this verse very well. It's a very short verse. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Continue to pray, that means. Prayer is one of the greatest spiritual disciplines in the life of a Christian. And we need, indeed, the Lord's help to discipline ourselves in this area. Secondly, be not complacent in prayer. Nothing else in the Christian life is easy, as I've said before. And Paul, or rather in our study of the book of Romans in chapter 7 and chapter 8, we have already dealt on that. We are going through, the Christian life is a struggle, spiritual battle and all that. So why should prayer be any different? In our study, as I said, Christian life is a struggle. We are instructed to be sober, to be vigilant and watch unto prayer. Because why? We have an enemy, our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. So therefore, Christians should not expect simple, quick fix solution. Christians are called to spiritual warfare, and our perseverance in this warfare is itself a victory. If you are a struggling Christian, if you find yourself struggling with this old nature in you and the new nature, thank God for it. It is a good struggle. It's a good sign that you are persevering. Even if the results are not clearly evident, as God's children united in Christ, you can be assured that the Holy Spirit will help you bear your burden. Thirdly, what should we do concerning our prayer life? Be cognizant in prayer. Well, the word cognizant, I'm not trying to impress you with my English vocabulary. I'm just using this word to shorten it, to make that point succinct. Be cognizant, meaning to say, the word cognizant means be aware or mindful. So although the discipline of prayer is itself a struggle, and more often than not, we do not know what to pray for or how to pray for, nevertheless, we can know and need to be aware or mindful what we are doing when we come before the throne of grace. So what do I mean? To be mindful or to be aware of what? That we are coming before the throne of grace, the throne of this triune God who is sovereign. This we must be mindful. We are not coming before someone of our equal. We are coming before this holy, thrice holy God who is the sovereign ruler of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth. We may not know, yes, we have all these weaknesses. We do not know what to pray for or how to pray, but we should be aware when we come before God, at least this awareness that we are in the presence of this holy God who is almighty. Alright, and so we are coming before the God of universe in presenting our prayers, in confession of our sin, in thanksgiving and in supplication to this almighty God. We should also through faith be aware that the Lord is hearing our prayers. Even though we do not see Him physically, God is hearing our prayers and He is responding to our prayers in His time, consistently, perfectly, and wisely working out all the various details of our life in according to the pleasure of His good will. And so be aware of that. Even though when you pray, you cannot see the Lord Jesus hearing your prayer, physically I mean, but be aware God is hearing. And I know some of you have this frame up in your house, you know, the unseen guests in your home. And so that's what I meant. When we come before God, yes, we may not know what to pray, how to pray, and sometimes we really have difficulty praying, don't know what to say, but at least you must be aware that God is hearing your prayer. And so, brethren, be encouraged to come before the throne of grace boldly without ceasing, no matter what. You do not have to pray long prayers like the Pharisees. You do not have to use poetic language in your prayer. Most importantly, you pray from your heart. The Lord knows. Alright? You have everything to gain in using this means of grace, though it can be a struggle for many of us. But remind yourself what a great privilege you and I have, and what a great honor God has accorded to us to come before this Creator God to commune with Him. Not only has God given us His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Savior, remember, the Lord Jesus is also your intercessor, together with God the Holy Spirit. How do we know that Christ is our intercessor? Hebrews 7:25. So moreover, beside Christ as our Savior, beside Christ as our intercessor, God has given us His Holy Spirit. Remember this. The Holy Spirit has a very intimate relationship with us. He comes alongside you to bear your prayer burden, to pray with you, and to pray for you. And you can be assured that the Holy Spirit's prayer for you will be answered. Why? Because the Spirit knoweth the mind of God, meaning to say knoweth the mind or the will of God. And so you can be assured, if the Holy Spirit is praying with you and for you, it will be in accordance with the will of the Father, and that prayer will be answered. Therefore, you have two intercessors, brethren, praying for you and praying with you. One in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, and on earth, the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. If you are a child of God, a born-again Christian, therefore, you have no reason and excuse not to pray. So may the Lord help us and every one of us to pray without ceasing, to keep on seeking the Lord, and He will help us in our weakness. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Father, we thank Thee for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that indeed we are so blessed. We thank Thee that we have such a comforter in the person of Your Holy Spirit. And oftentimes we quench grief and resisted Your Holy Spirit. O Lord, forgive us, we pray, for how often we have taken this means of grace for granted, and we make all kinds of excuses for ourselves not to pray. But Lord, we thank Thee that You have right now, through Your word, given us this encouragement to pray, to seek after Thee. So Lord, may You give us the grace and the strength to call upon Thee, knowing that the Holy Spirit is not only in us, but coming alongside us to help us to pray with groaning, to support us, to bear that burden with us, and to pray for us and with us. Oh, Father, we ask that You will bring to remembrance this word of comfort that You have given to us, and help us to make full use, not only this means of grace of prayer, but all other means of grace that You have so graciously granted to us. So bless us, we pray, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.